Go Fleet Talk! Broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan. This is Ghostly Talk on the last day of November 2008.
Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
Tonight, we're having an unprecedented number of hand signals from Scott L. behind the controls. And also,
I'm running this thing.
This is awesome. John Venture starts the night off with us. We talk alien rock with author Michael Luckman. Mm-hmm. And finally, Robbie Thomas drops in for a visit.
Already, I can tell.
Yes, it's going to be a very fun last show, I think.
Yeah, this is the official last live show of 2008 for us.
Yes, all the rest have been prepared. They're in the can. We put some nostalgic content in each of the remainder of the shows for the year.
Yeah,
but
some flashback stuff. Yeah.
But there's also some new content.
We got a bunch of new stuff. It's going to be like
two hours of new content.
Yeah, we've been preparing you guys for this whole month. We're going to be busy with our day jobs, more or less, in December.
Yeah.
So we're going to be doing pre-tape shows all in December, but the majority of it's all new stuff, though. So
it's
really cool. It's really cool to check out. A lot of stuff to cover tonight, so we got to blow through this stuff. The first thing, I have to make an announcement. Last night when we were at the Indigo Inn in beautiful Fremont, Michigan, thank you to Marilyn for putting us up and feeding us and all that cool stuff. We'll talk maybe a little bit more about that in a few minutes here. I got a phone call, though, from my sister, Erica L., who was letting me know that as of about 7:30 last night, she is engaged.
Whoa!
Yay! Congratulations, Erica. Love you.
Yay!
Yeah.
Can we do the Erica and Aaron sitting in a tree kind of thing?
We've been doing that for about Aaron actually, the gentleman that he is, he actually went to my parents' house, Mom and Dad L's house, Friday night, and asked for their blessing and their permission to marry.
Wow.
My mom and dad's daughter. So,
wow, that's awesome.
I got that phone call. It knocked the wind out of me. If you can't tell, still. So
did it come out? Well, they've been dating less time than you and Amber.
Of course, that come out.
And something about the younger sibling.
Oh, she's been out to get me since day one. So whatever, that's fine. But no, I talked to Aaron for a few minutes, and he was cool about it. And I'm very happy for Erica and Aaron. And congratulations to you too.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I can't really express how happy I am because I'm really tired. And I'm burnt out because it's been a long week. But, thank you, Aaron, for doing the right thing.
Yes.
Now I don't have to kill you, boy.
And I love you both.
Yeah, they're good there. We all know Aaron really well, and he's a good kid. He's a great, I shouldn't say that, he's a good man, because he is a man. What am I going to say? I can sit here and act like a hard guy, and she's doing the right thing by my sister. When he got on the phone last night, I'm like, so what's this I hear about you wanting to marry my sister now? What's going on here? But, yeah, I'm really stoked about that, which just kind of capped capped off a pretty interesting weekend.
I am so happy for the both of them.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
is
I'm very incredible. So yeah, don't know when the wedding is going to be just yet, but Erica said yes, which was cool, and that whole thing came through. I don't know how all that stuff works, but that's, I guess, he asked, she said yes. So.
Usually you say yes to signing away the rest of your life.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know about this.
Yeah. And then about, you know, 7 years down the road, you get smart and say, sayonara, sucker.
Well, hopefully that isn't the case for
I hope it doesn't America. Happen to them.
Yeah. They're good. They're good people, and I'm very, very excited for the both of them. So, yeah, fantastic. I'm just totally blown away by that. So, yeah, yeah, and of course, yeah, I had Aaron. Of course, was like, okay, when it's your turn now, son.
I'm you know it's coming, man.
Well, we're not going to get into that right now. Okay, now. Let's start with your thing first, okay? This was just a strange, and we got to plow through this, and I'm going to be pulling Tom on the phone.
We have to deal with this.
Yeah, we got to deal with that too. We'll deal with that in a few minutes. I'm going to get Tom on the phone.
But I think there's
speak.
Sweets in here. Maybe we want to deal with this first.
You want to hammer through that? Go ahead. I'll get Tom on the phone.
Here, Doug. You can read the card while I open the gift.
This says, "Merry Christmas, guys. Have had so much entertainment in the wee hours."
By the way, I'm not a guy.
Right. no matter how we do your voice.
Right.
Have had so much entertainment in the wee hours as I can't sleep and tune in via iPod.
Right.
Hey, often
right.
laugh
all right, Tom,
out loud,
hang on the line. Doug's
and
reading
just
something.
Have to say, you all rock.
Yeah.
Enjoy the munchies.
Who's this from? Is it Sam?
Susan?
Sue.
Is yeah. it, what's the package say?
Is it Bannett from
Susan.
Victoria, Australia?
Yeah, Victoria, Australia, yeah.
So oh, Australia. That is phenomenal.
And we have the most irresistible chocolate biscuits.
Oh, boy. I love chocolate biscuits.
So we'll be tearing into these things. You'll hear that all night the rest of the show.
Oh, yeah, I'm tearing into
so
them
thank you.
Right
what
now.
Was her, I, what was her
Susan.
Name? Susan.
Susan. From Australia.
Susan from, yeah, Melbourne, Australia. Wow, holy crap.
Wow.
I didn't know we had people listen to us in Australia. Thank you so much. That's really nice of you. I got that Friday when I hit the P.O. box. So yeah.
And I now have glitter all over me.
Now, Doug, okay, so thank you, Susan. Really, we really
yes.
appreciate that.
That's
so awesome. I'm really blown away. Thank you. Happy holidays to you. I'm all right now. Now, Doug, let's get into your thing first, because this was just a weekend of weirdness. You know, aside from my sister getting
right.
engaged. This was just a weekend of
weirdness. I spent Thanksgiving days, Wednesday night and Thursday night, because Thanksgiving was actually Thursday, at my parents' house. I actually slept there, and it was really relaxing, really wonderful to have, you know, family and friends and everything around. And then I went back home Friday, right? And when did this happen? It had to have been... It was after I putzed around for several hours. So it had to be like midnight-ish between Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And I go downstairs and I took a shower.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was going to take a shower, I noticed that the louvered bifold doors going into the furnace room...
Mm-hmm.
were open, and I thought, well, that's nothing, because recently our refrigerator exploded or whatever. It did some nasty stuff. So I had to go up in the rafters and try and find the shutoff valve
yeah.
for the water going to the refrigerator. So I figured I just left them open. So I closed them, took a shower, came out, got dressed, putzed around. I had to move some furniture around in the basement. I did that, and because it's all in the basement. And then I was sitting there on my computer in the basement, and I thought, oh, I'm going to run to the lavatory really quick. So
yeah.
I hop up, and I start going down the hallway, but the louvered bifold doors are open.
Mm.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I had closed them.
Mm-hmm.
So that totally freaked me out. And, yeah, big bad
Doug,
ghost hunter
the big
man.
Bad ghost hunter is now moving.
No, I'm not moving.
So that
yet.
Was your Friday night.
Yeah, and I thought, well, maybe I left him open. I don't think I did. Maybe I did. I'm trying to make up excuses or whatever. All I can say is I shut them, made sure they were shut. Now, every time I go down in the basement, which is all the time because, you know, I live down there, I look down that hallway and I'm trepidatious.
I can understand that.
Terrified, I believe.
Terrified.
That would be the right word, yes.
All right, so that was to be continued on that. Mm-hmm. Please keep reporting back, you know, after the new year or whatever. Maybe there'll be something else. Who knows? Maybe we'll do a special
Doug's
show.
Doug's going to call his favorite ghost hunting group and have them come in.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
It won't be us, because Doug doesn't call us.
Oh, yeah. We don't ghost that no more. So that was your Friday night. Now, Tom, you're on the line. You can still hear us, right, Tom?
I'm here.
And you're hot and sexy, too.
We got.
Oh, thanks, Davey. You saved me some of that chocolate.
Yeah, this is good stuff.
Yeah, good luck to you on that one, because
these are really good.
These
are fantastic. What are these things called? Tim Tam?
Yeah.
Straight from Melbourne, Australia. Really good stuff.
Nice.
We have the lovely Tom Mott on the line right now, who's, you know, obviously works with Ghostly Talk. Now, Tom, I'm going to let you start, okay? Let's just do it that way.
Right? Gee, thanks. Okay, well, Friday night, it's about 25 after 11, you know. It's Amber and I are out on the back deck, just kind of, I'm having a cigar, she's, you know, having a cigarette, we're sipping on wine, just, you know, chit-chatting along, and Amber says, Tom, what is that in the sky over there? And this is to my left, so I turn around and go, what? And she says, look at that. And I'm looking to the distance, and you can see these bright, bluish, white lights in the sky. And I'm like, I don't know, it looks like a plane. And then this plane suddenly goes from the line of vision from my left to my right at an impossibly fast speed, dips down at a 90-degree angle and, like, disappears to right behind the tree line.
Yeah.
And then a few seconds later, it's back in view again. I'm like, what in the heck is that?
Yeah.
You know, and we're just, like, blown away. I'm like, what can that be?
Uh-huh.
So I think it was about that time that I ran inside to get you to come out and take a look.
Yeah, I was watching Police Academy. I was, like, really comfortable in the couch.
Great movie.
Passed out watching Police Academy. And Amber and Tom were like, get out here now, you got to see this. So, yeah, we went out on the porch. Go ahead, Tom. I mean, I came out.
Okay, and so you came out, and we're all kind of have a dialogue as this thing, whatever it is, it's moving in weird patterns and, you know, disappearing, and we didn't see it, and you barely see it through those trees. And, we're trying to analyze it to get a fix on what it is, you know, what it could possibly be, if it's some kind of weird airplane or maybe even like an RC plane. But it was too far away, and I think I had estimated, you know, well, I was off a little bit, that it was like, you know, 3 miles away.
It was, yeah, 2 to 3 miles at least, I think we figured out, yeah.
And then, you know, I'm holding my thumb out, you know, to kind of get a, you know, kind of do a point of reference to get some kind of a size of this thing. And it was like almost half the width of my thumb from about 2 miles away, because I know the distance.
Yeah.
So whatever that was, you know, that was about 3 cars wide, you know.
Proportionally,
size.
Yeah. Yeah, proportionally.
Yeah. Well, it's a guess, but...
Go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead.
I wanted to bring you on here because you guys were the ones that saw this first. Now, yeah, like Tom said, we were on the back deck. And when they brought me out there, you know, I was, of course, in my jeans and T-shirt, so I stood there for a couple minutes until I started to freeze solid, and I experienced the same thing. What this was, you know, I saw like a greenish and whitish colors, and then, you know, I thought I saw some reds later on. But this particular, whatever it was doing, I was telling Bill, I called Bill Konkoleski from MUFON yesterday, Michigan MUFON yesterday, and talked to him about it. And what I told him is it looked like something that, like a skateboarder on a half pipe. It was doing maneuvers like that. You know,
right. It
was just kind of going back and forth and doing stuff like that. But it also was doing all types of stuff. It was doing all types of weird aeronautics. It was insane. And we sat and watched this thing for about, I think you ran in and got your camera. I have it all written down. I should have pulled the file and just read it on the air. But
that's what I was going to say. While you guys are looking at it, and I said, I got to get my camera and see if I can get something on video.
Yeah, yeah.
Or anything.
Yeah, you ran in and you came out as we watched this thing, and we watched it for a couple of minutes, and then it just went away. Tom took some pictures, which I'd like to check those out if we could maybe even put them up on the site if you're cool with that, Tom. I mean, I didn't ask you before. We might be able to put these up.
I have one, you know, that's what you want to call it, clear. It's from a distance, but it does have, when you blow it up, a shape to it. I mean, it's not round. It is definitely like an oblong shape.
Yeah, yeah.
When I zoom in.
Well, I'll have to get a hold of those pictures tonight. We'll put them up on the homepage. People can check them out.
Sure.
You also took some video, am I correct?
Correct.
We might.
And there was a period, actually last night when we were sitting at the end of go, and I had some downtime, and I was looking at the video, you know, on the small screen of my camera, and there is a small portion on there that I actually, you do see the lights doing the weird maneuvers.
Okay.
So I think on a bigger screen, we'll actually be able to see it better.
Yeah. Well, the thing that was weird is that when this thing went away, we thought it was gone for good. We're like, oh crap, it's gone.
Yeah, they're back to the Alpha Omega Galaxy.
They're back to wherever. So, we were kind of bummed. So we stood there, we're like, well, let's not just leave yet. You never know what's going to happen. And sure enough, it came back out.
Right.
About 5 minutes later. And this time, what was more perplexing is that it seemed like it got a bit closer to us. Which could have been maybe, you know, not that much, but it seemed like we could see it a little bit better, and that's where I actually saw the colors of this thing. It was still doing these weird maneuvers and stuff the whole time. But whatever it was moving around was really, really fast. I mean, to make these kind of moves. I mean, we all seen airplanes, and, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm just, we're more, Tom and I right now are just kind of relaying what we saw. And what we saw was something that didn't behave like an airplane. An airplane, when it makes maneuvers, it takes a time for it to make the maneuver. This thing was making turns on a dime, jumping back and forth instantaneously at really quick speeds from what we could see. It was I've never seen anything like it. And it really kind of didn't scare us all that much. I mean, I think we were...
Fascinated. It's like, what am I looking at?
Well, where we thought it was approximately at, we actually jumped in my car and drove down there. We went down to the area, and sure enough, and we may be off a little bit, but this thing, it was where we ended up at was a body of water.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And we stood out in this body of water, just like looking around, kind of like, please take us, you know, putting our arms up and stuff in the sky and whatnot. You know,
that was me.
Yeah, that was Tom. And, but we, of course, you know, then we didn't see anything. We didn't see anybody outside either that was looking either, so we don't know what happened. But I hardly think that we were the only three people that saw this thing in the sky. It's something that was doing these maneuvers, and it was as bright as it was. So more or less what I'm saying about this, you know, we're gonna talk to Bill more about this from MUFON and file a report, too, with the MUFON people. But anybody in the Grand Haven area, slash Ferrysburg area, right?
Right.
Ferrysburg area. Please, if you saw this particular thing at approximately 11:28 p.m. Friday, November 28th, this past Friday night, get a hold of me. Just email me, scottl@ghostlytalk.com. This is serious. This isn't a joke. We saw this thing. It's blown us away. I've never seen anything like this. I don't think you've ever seen anything like this before, right, Tom?
No.
I know Amber hadn't because Amber was with us.
How did she react? Because she tends not to like...
she didn't want to drive down there. Let's just say that.
We had to drag her in the car. We had to pretty much drag her into the car to go with us.
She was not
really excited about going.
But she was as curious as we were, though.
Yeah.
She was curious but scared to death at the same time.
Yeah. So I'm just putting that out there. Anybody in the West Michigan area, because judging by how good we could see it, I mean, it wasn't great, but we could see something moving out there. This thing could have been seen in all different directions. I don't know if it could have went out as far as Grand Rapids or not. But, I mean, on that West Michigan area there, if you're listening to this show, or if you're listening to the show later this week, please get a hold of me, scottl@ghostlytalk.com. Because I'm really curious to see if anybody else saw this thing. And three of us saw it clear as day. You know, I'm trying to justify that we're not nuts here. We're not losing our minds. We were just enjoying a Friday night. We went out to dinner, hung out, you know, just the usual thing. And I usually end up on the couch where, you know, on Friday night watching a movie. And that's what I was doing. And then all of a sudden, we ended up on the porch here watching this thing fly around the sky in front of us. So... please.
Well, I do have a pair of binoculars in my equipment bag now. That was the first thing I dug out yesterday morning was I got to have binoculars from now on.
I really wish
if I'd had binoculars, I could have got a better look at what it was.
Oh, yeah. That would have been like anything. I mean, I don't care. It was that situation. it was the least time anyone would expect to see something like that.
Right.
It was a Friday night. We were all fat and happy. We were all relaxing. Just watching TV there on the porch talking. Everybody was relaxing. The paranormal stuff was the last thing on our minds. And this is when this thing happens. So, you know, this isn't a publicity stunt. This isn't any of that crap. This is, I don't know what else to tell you. This is just really, really weird.
You know, I went to Roswell, New Mexico. I wanted to, you know, hunt for UFO. Because, you know, the year before last or whatever was my Bigfoot year.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this year was my UFO year. And you guys saw an unexplainable object instead of me. I'm kind of jealous.
No, I'm not.
I can tell you that it wasn't all too far off of the things you see on TV, which, you know, that's why I'm kind of like, you know, we
including my bad video.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The video.
Yay! Oh, we have a blurry video too.
The video that Tom took, we kind of looked at it on the camera and we're like, oh god, this is just going to suck. But you know what? It comes down to the same thing though when it comes to ghost hunting or any of this stuff. You know, it's an experience that the three of us had, and I don't really care if you don't believe me. You know what I mean? If you want to shoot holes in what we have, go right ahead. Tom made the brilliant move of going and getting his camera because we didn't have Amber and I didn't have ours.
Right.
We weren't on the clock. we were relaxing.
Exactly.
Yeah? Tom got his camera and did the best he could. So whatever. I don't care if somebody don't believe us or they think whatever. I've never had experience like this before, and I'm still kind of in shock about the thing. I know I am, but I knew that we needed to talk about it tonight on the show and see if anybody else saw this thing.
I really feel like I got cheated on my Friday night because nothing happened.
Yeah, I know.
Well, maybe that was for the best.
I didn't have, like, any crazed stalkers or ghosts or UFOs or anything. It was just a regular Friday. I was cheated.
Stick around. We can.
Do you want me to talk to you, honey?
Yes. Will you please stalk me?
Yeah. Go and tap on the window tonight or something. Let's round this weekend out the right way. But no. I just want to stress that this isn't. I know this has been done on other shows.
Yes.
And that's not what's going on here. This is something I wanted to report to you guys, especially to the people on the west side of Michigan. That if you saw this thing, please, please get a hold of me or contact the MUFON people, too. Contact Bill Konkoleski.
It's MIMUFON .org.
You got it. Get a hold of those guys. But I'd like to talk to you, too, because, I mean, I'd like to get some confirmation that the three of us weren't just going bug-eyed out there, because all three of us were like, oh, there it is right there. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't... I kind of feel like these people, they're like, oh, you're crazy. You didn't see anything. Yes, I did. I saw something out there, man. I'm serious. And we saw something out there.
I saw it, you know, and I've been around airplanes all my life, and I've seen the stunt planes, I've seen how they can fly, and this thing was doing things that are dynamically impossible with a real plane.
Yeah, I agree.
It would have ripped the wings off.
Yeah. Wow.
This thing would have just disintegrated. It was doing take your finger, anybody out there listening to this show, and just go.
Look at Bonnie's finger.
Just keep going.
Bonnie's doing it very well.
But just seriously, Bonnie, just do this kind of thing. You know,
no one can see you.
I'm telling people, take your finger. I'm doing a big
C in the air, and then I'm gonna do the take home base.
No, what I'm saying is, if you just take your finger and just kind of move it around randomly, this is what this thing was doing. To try to give you some kind of visual out there. So,
I think the skateboard one was probably a pretty good.
Well, that was one of the maneuvers it was doing too. It was kind of like doing this, you know,
like a big U kind
of. Yeah, a big U, but it would do all kinds of, you know, but it would come back down or come back up this way. It was doing stuff that just was, I mean, any idiot will tell you that it was physically impossible. We don't have any kind of craft as far as we know that can do this kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean,
we can hear cars going over the bridge in the distance.
Yeah,
but there was no sound.
Yeah,
no
that was
sound
the other thing too. Because the bridge is right there. We were not, you know, a mile and a half away from the bridge, and you could hear cars coming over that very easily. You could hear the clinking on the bridge and stuff like that. And this whatever this thing was, it made no sound either. It was perfectly silent.
Wow.
You know, and I'm sure I'm leaving some details out. That's why I got home. I grabbed my laptop and just. Jotted all the details down that I can remember.
That's the best thing to
do. Scott, the one thing with the video that will be valuable is there's the audio of our comments. as we're watching this thing, so we can play back. And that would probably
holy F, holy S, holy this.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we, I know, I, yeah. Well, no, we were describing it too.
Honestly, we were all dumbfounded.
Yeah, we were. Well, yeah, I know. I timestamped it with my voice too. I mean, it's going to be on the tape also. Mm-hmm. But I said, like, Okay, it's 11:29. You know, it's 11:34 p.m. right now, and we're still watching this thing, and it's in the distance. And about we did the best we could to document this thing.
About how long was it there the first time that you had noticed it, and then when it came back, about how long was it there, and how long had it disappeared?
Tom, how long was it there the first
minutes,
time?
Or
I'd say no more than about 2-3 minutes the first time.
Okay.
And it was about 25 after, and, you know, Amber and I, for about the first 6 seconds, were just looking at this thing. And finally, you know, she says, quick, go get Scott. He's got to see this. And then he came out, and it was still doing its maneuvers for probably another 60 seconds when he came out, and then disappeared. And then we're like, oh, okay, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
But we waited, and then again, it came out again, and it was bright, and it was either closer or brighter. I don't know what
it
was.
It was something. It looked like it was getting closer because it looked like it got a little bit bigger. To me, or it could have gotten
brighter.
I think
there were some comments made by somebody about, oh no, it's getting closer.
Yeah, Amber probably made that comment, like, oh my God, it's getting closer, this sucks, or something, yeah. But yeah, it's perplexing, and again, all I can say is, if you saw this thing, please contact me. Scott L. at ghostlytalk.com. I'd like to hear what you saw.
I'd like to start the weekend over. I want something paranormal to happen to me, please.
Well, Scott, I mean, think about it. I mean, this entire weekend, we were doing and seeing the things that we love. You know, I mean, we had the sighting on Friday night, and then Saturday night, we were doing basically leading an investigation at the Indigo Inn. You know, it was a good weekend.
Yeah, it was a really good weekend. I mean, yeah, it's just these things happen when you don't expect them, though.
Bonnie's weekend next weekend, but we're all hush-hush on that.
Yeah, we're keeping it quiet on
that.
Why?
I don't know.
We said last weekend on the show that I was going to Whisper's Estate.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
And I can't go. I have to work.
I'll be there.
What a bummer, dude.
I'll air grab your butt from a couple states away.
Promises.
I will. You wait. You're going to feel it.
He'll be working. He'll be, like, in front of a customer, and then he'll go,
ooh! Oh, my.
it
can't be any worse than these emails I get from the guys from LGHS. Just open on my phone and... have you gotten any guys?
Yeah, nothing like being greeted by a scrotum.
I've gotten every single one of them. Yes.
Tom, hang on the line. Hang tight for a minute. We're going to be going to break here for a minute. But no, Tom, thanks for dropping on real quick. It's short. Such short notice.
No problem.
And we should get together after the show and see if I can get these pictures from you somehow, and maybe slap this video
up.
Maybe slap this video up on YouTube or something like that too, so we can throw that up there if possible. We'll see though. We'll talk about that after the show. But yeah, that's kind of. The weird thing that happened between the both of us. We both had some strange stuff happen. But I really want to see if somebody else saw this thing. I'm really stressing that. I want to see if someone else saw this. Please report this to us. Can't stress that enough. What do we got going on here for the rest of the show? Well, here's another thing I got to mention, too. The ironic part is, well, including this segment, four-sixths of the show, ironically enough, is dedicated to nothing but UFOs, too.
I think I'm going to go get pizza.
And aliens and stuff like that. So,
well, you know, the other funny thing is, you know, just 2 weeks ago, I attended investigator training for MUFON in Flint.
Yeah.
Well, this was great field experience for you, Tom.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
So I hit the ground running, you know?
Yeah, this is...
Yeah, no kidding.
We got to go to break, though. Tom, hang on the line for a second, okay, dude?
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to go to break here. So that was kind of, actually some real hardcore, like, stuff to talk about here in the first half hour. I'm going away. Coming up, though, we're going to be talking to John Venture, who we're going to be talking about all kinds of wild stuff with John Venture, including UFOs. So stick around here. This is Ghostly Talk. I am author, actor, screenwriter, / producer, / paranormal investigator, Scott L.
And I'm demonologist. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not a demonologist.
Wow. I was just...
I'm not attaching any titles.
Neither am I.
Other than a co-host of Ghostly Talk, and I love it, and I'm Doug.
And I'm old.
And I'm still a witch, and Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
Ghostly Talk! Para X Radio and you.
This is Johnny. Johnny is going to use his computer to contact the spirit. His sister Jenny is very curious and watches. Johnny just typed in www.para-x.com and is now communicating with the dead. You go, Johnny. Jenny is excited because now she can listen to shows like Nightwatch with Todd Sheets, Caps Paranormal Radio with David and Tom, Paranormal Awareness with Bill Metz, Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie, Leinster Paranormal Radio Show with Danny and Cormac, and the Ghost Divas Live. One day, the world will be a better place when we can all be like Johnny and Jenny and tune into Para X Radio at www.para-x.com. All paranormal, all the time.
Hey, it's Wolfman Mac with Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. We host classic B, horror, and sci-fi movies. All the good stuff that you grew up with as a kid. And we show them every single month here in the Detroit area. But guess what, boys and girls? It's coming to you soon via the internet. To find out more, visit www.nightmarecinema.com. That's S-I-N-E-M-A. It's Wolfman Mac. Scare you later, babies.
Yeah. Beacons of Tomorrow presents Deconstructing Fireflies, a post-apocalyptic short story by the Ghostman and Demon Hunter shows Nathan Schoonover and Christy Peterson. Bees are real, birds are not. Deer heads rot on rooftops under the blazing sun. Chickens explode, and one stricken little boy searches in unlikely places for the souls of the mechanical animals his father creates. This unsettling tale is now available in the speculative fiction anthology Beacons of Tomorrow, second collection. Buy your copy at TyrannosaurusPress.com, Amazon.com, Tower.com, and most online book retailers now. Beacons of Tomorrow, second collection. It's a vision of the future so grotesque, you won't be able to look away.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Like I said before the break, it's very, very ironic and topical tonight.
Yes, we're extremely fortunate. We're going to talk about UFOs. We're also talking, we're going to be talking to the author of 12-21-2012, A Prophecy, John Venture. He wrote that, and he also happens to pay a lot of attention to UFOs, which is really cool because of you know, the experience.
Weird thing that happened. Which we got. I don't want to be redundant on the air, John. So I'll have to tell you about this some other time. But we'll get. Yeah, we'll tell you about what happened this weekend.
But I do want to throw out the website. John Venture, his book 12-21-2012, A Prophecy. The website is www.12-21-2012-a-prophecy.com. And, of course, that will be linked up at ghostlytalk.com.
Yep, already is.
In the, yep, there we go. Already done. So 12-21-2012, all with dashes in between them, -a-prophecy.com. Welcome, John Venture, to Ghostly Talk.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you on the show. I this is going to be really weird. Well, you know, let's just get into this first. Let's start this. You were actually featured on UFOs Over Earth on the Discovery Channel here just recently, weren't you?
Yeah, just this past Monday on the 24th at 9 o'clock, Discovery ran a new show, UFOs Over Earth, and they did the Bucks County UFO Flap.
Tell me, can we hear about this? Tell us about it's the Bucks County UFO Flap, right? Tell us about this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a really weird summer. We had 138 UFO sightings from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia, and about 60 of them were in the Bucks County area. Now, if you look at last summer, the same 4 months, we had 36 sightings. So now this year, we have four times as many. We have 138 sightings. And as a matter of fact, as soon as the show aired Monday, we got 27 more people went online and filed sightings, 21 of them in the Bucks County area. So normally I get 8 or 9 investigations a month to do, and we've got, right now we've probably got about 180 UFO sightings in the past 6 months.
You know, the one summer that we don't go to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then the UFOs invade. This was my summer, John, to go and look up, you know, UFO stuff. I went, for example, to Roswell, New Mexico for the Alien Festival, things like that. And I didn't get to see one. Turns out, you know, like every summer up till this for the past, what, 4 or 5 summers, I've spent a lot of time in Pennsylvania. Until this summer, when I went to New Mexico, and I went everywhere but Pennsylvania, and then that's where all the sightings are happening. So I guess I repel UFOs or something, or make them go to where I used to be, something like that.
Well,
but,
it's interesting because amazing. Well, that you mentioned, there's like this hot, you know, you're getting a lot more reports now. We just talked to, you know, we mentioned Bill the last half hour. I mentioned him here again. Bill Konkoleski, who's the Michigan MUFON president here in Michigan, and he We just saw him do a presentation a few weeks ago, and he said that the reports they're getting has doubled between this year and last year too. So I'm seeing a pattern here. It seems like a lot more people seem to be seeing UFOs now.
Yeah, I mean, it almost seems like we're heading in some direction here. I mean, UFO reports are up 100% from last year. They've doubled, and like I said, here in Pennsylvania, they're up at least 4 to 5 times what they were a year ago. And you know what's strange? I know you're over in the Detroit area, but
yeah.
we got a guy in Ohio that calls me to see the UFO, a bright star-like object coming in off of Lake Erie into the Sandusky area and into Pennsylvania. Now, 2 weeks later, I get a guy in Wheeling, West Virginia calls me 2 Saturdays in a row, tells me he sees a bright star-like UFO coming in out of Ohio, overwheeling into the Pittsburgh area. And those are some of the reports that we're getting.
You know what? I just saw one on Friday also. I'm going to say it. We saw one also. We saw something on the west side of Michigan, John, also on Friday night. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I'll just say that. You know what? Thinking about it, you mentioned the description is star-like, correct?
Yeah.
That's kind of what, I mean, we saw, too. I mean, that's another description of it. So my question was going to be to you, which is kind of ridiculous for me to ask now, being my situation, but you're seeing a lot more reports, a lot more sightings and things like that. We asked, you know, Bill this not too long ago also from over here. And we're, you know, do you think, I mean, and this isn't a loaded question in any way, but I have to ask it. Do you think it may be a result of a lot of the media coverage that's going on, though, too? I mean, I'm not saying that everybody's like, oh, I'm just going to report this for fun and just to be a jerk, or I'm going to report this because maybe I can get my, you know, I can be on TV or get some semblance of fame. But do you think there might be a part of that also, unfortunately?
Yeah, well, we saw a spike after it hit the media, but we had 25 reports in the Pittsburgh area before, and at that point, after the 25, I brought the story to the Tribune Review, and we got a few more stories after that. And the same thing with Bucks County. We probably already had 40 reports before it hit the newspaper and the radio and the TV shows over there, and then you got another 20 or 30. But I tell you what, though, some of our best witnesses came forward after it hit the media because they said they felt comfortable now that other people were seeing it. And if you watch the show on Monday, just real quickly, the two that came forward after it hit the media were the two that were in the show.
Uh-huh.
This one guy sees a large UFO. It's 6 UFOs docked together. There's a heat lightning storm in the background. He can see through the seams, and he sees the 6 objects. So he goes to the Philadelphia International Airport, and we go to the tower, and they say, yeah, at 4:20 a.m. on June 27th, we had a large object come onto radar with no transponder. It veered towards the northeast and headed towards New York. That's exactly what the guy told us, and we didn't tell them that at the tower.
Oh.
And then we had a woman come forward who tells us this story about these metallic sprinkles coming down from the UFO into a tree. I'll be honest with you, I didn't believe her. So we cut branches and leaves from the tree, send it to 2 labs, comes back that the leaves were subject to high radiation. It actually changed the DNA structure of it, and it produced this chemical called anthocyanine, and it actually changed the leaf. And it also had high levels of boron and magnesium on the leaves, but yet it wasn't in the soil.
Yeah.
We took samples from a couple blocks away. It wasn't on the leaves or the soil. So something is happening across southern Pennsylvania and particularly over in the Bucks County area.
What? Is there anything? Oh, wow. Ooh. I hear static.
John?
You're still with us, right?
John?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Is there anything in Bucks County that would be like an attractor to UFOs or aliens? Like, is there a special soil makeup, or is there oil, or is there, you know, a lot of cattle, or what would the aliens be interested in?
Well, there's 2 Air Force bases in Bucks County, Willow Grove and McGuire. And you know, my first inkling, because we always try to disprove it first, is that this is our military, the next generation of some craft that we have.
Yeah.
And they're flying, you know, and they could be flying from, you know, where you guys are, Lake Michigan, across Ohio and southern Pennsylvania, out into the Atlantic. That's what we thought, you know, but when you listen to the descriptions, that's not what people are describing. We had cops give us descriptions, all different people, and they said, look, we've seen everything that comes off these bases, and this is an arse.
Well,
interesting.
So, I mean, that does give us a good insight into what's, you know, as far as all these things are concerned. Well, I mean, I do want
to...
Well, going
back to your media thing, you know how like in October and even like just this past Monday, they do things on like Travel Channel, Discovery Channel, you know, all those History Channel, all those channels, they do all these things. And a lot of them are, you know, ghosts or UFOs or whatever. And you know what I noticed when we started doing the show, 6 years ago or whatever?
1837.
In 1837. One of the guests said, just pay attention. And since then, I've been paying ever-increasing attention to things, and that's how you notice things like synchronicity. And those little things that are, must be coincidence, maybe not, you know? So you notice all these things if you pay attention. I wonder if the media coverage, you know, things like what...
It's making people aware.
You know, John, you were just in the... you know, in the UFOs are over Earth on Monday, and then that just makes people aware, and then they can pay attention more, and then see more happening in the skies, hence more reports.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, in of all the media coverage, I think we were in 14 newspapers, television shows, like that. 11 of the 14 were very serious, and they reported it as news. There were three that made fun of it, you know. Matter of fact, one, the TV news actually said that they were 4th of July Chinese lanterns, these things you light up.
Yeah.
So we bought a bunch of them. I got six of the witnesses together. We lit them up and sent them up. It looked nothing like what they were seeing. It was actually an insult to do that. But the majority of the coverage has been very positive. People want to know what's going on.
No, and I agree. I mean, that's just a curiosity also. I want to know what's making this thing tick, why there are all these reports, you know?
Well,
I think it is this thing. I think you nailed it. That's probably the best conclusion we can come to, is that it is this awareness thing.
It's very encouraging, John, to hear that only three of the numerous media outlets reported it as a silly story, because here in Detroit, was it last year or the year before, there was a sighting in, I think, Roseville, Michigan.
Yeah,
which is like one city over from there. And the TV media reported it as if it were, you know, a clown gone awry at a birthday party. You know, it was just like, oh my gosh, this is the silliest story ever. You wouldn't even believe it. Ah ha ha. You know, and then they throw a pie plate in the air.
If I remember correctly, in that story, it was reported. Well, they talked to the father. They talked to the father, if I remember correctly. And the story goes that it was his child yelled for him.
Right.
To come into his bedroom. And he ran in there and saw
this glowing
thing. What he also said that he described was it looked like it was, he saw like white and red stripes going across everything too. Like the light was beaming in like a right, like white and red, like, you know, beams. And it just covered them. And it was really,
they had a cell phone and they tried to get, but you know, video and pictures on cell phones. Worse than, you know, those things that Al Qaeda, you know, puts out, you know, they're just like totally, totally blurry and terrible.
No packages from Iraq next weekend.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to see, like Doug said though, John, that the reporting is in a positive manner. Because I remember 10 years ago, John, and I'm sure you do too, any of these stories that came out, from what I saw, they were all scoffed at. They were like, oh, some crazy guy saw a UFO in the sky again. Let's talk to him. Well, I saw a UFO in the sky. You know, what do you want? It seems like it's a lot more positive now.
Well, you know, that's the way, and you know, it's funny, I give a presentation called The Case for UFOs, and I'm going to do that January 24th in Bucks County, but the Brookings Institute in Washington, D.C. did a study of the UFO phenomenon, and they concluded people couldn't handle the truth, so you can't tell them the truth, you have to make fun of it. And the Rand Institute in 1968, 8 years later, did another study of it and said the best thing to do is to make fun of the reportees, the reporters, and just make fun of it, and it'll go away. Because you can't tell the people the truth. Now, I disagree with that, you know, obviously. And I think the public now, and maybe it's just more sci-fi movies coming out, et cetera, people accept this. And there was an AOL poll of 136,000 people just recently. 91% said they believe there's intelligent life somewhere in the universe. 63% said they believe the Earth's been visited, and 14% said that they've seen a UFO. Those are pretty high numbers.
Well, I think you have to, and this is one of the few points that I'll stand by strong on this show, I think you have to be an idiot to deny that there are, that we are the only, and I put this in quotes, conscious life form in this universe. If you believe that,
well, I don't know about that, but I do.
Carl, okay, all right.
I understand, but I do believe that you have to be an idiot not to know that there are literally millions of people who say that they have seen a UFO, and of those millions of people, if even one is telling the truth, wow,
yeah, it's amazing.
And I think, you know, I think millions are telling the truth. There's going to be a handful of people, you know. Oh yeah, me too. You know, I know people like
you
that.
Know that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you know that. Yeah, you know, the Vatican twice, and the last time was in May, came out and gave a statement on life in space, on UFOs. And the Vatican's position is that there is life somewhere in space, that God created it, it's in God's image, and that they've probably sinned and fallen from grace just like us. But God did not, in all his eminence, just put life on this tiny planet. And that's the Vatican saying that.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? The more I look into this, the more I find. And I tell people, look, it's okay to be a skeptic, but don't be an uninformed skeptic. The more you look, the more you find.
Yeah, and that goes both ways. I mean, know the other side is, you know, learn about as much as you can on both sides of the picture. Because that's how you are informed, like you said, John. It's very important. But I think the Vatican's just backing me up.
Well,
I think you're nuts if you think we're the only race here.
Speaking of getting informed,
yeah,
there's going to be a lot of people who want to know more. They want to know more about Bucks County.
Yeah.
They want to know more about what John Venture does. John, you said you just mentioned what about 5 minutes ago? On January 24th, you're going to be presenting, right?
Yes.
And that's going to be at. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we're having a UFO conference at Bucks County Community College, and it seems appropriate to do it right there in Bucks County. And we're having some guest speakers. Bill Burns from UFO Hunters will be there. Dr. David Jacobs from Temple University. He gives a great talk on alien abductions and the hybrid program. And then we're going to have these witnesses come up. I'm going to give a presentation, and then they're going to get up and talk about what they saw. And it's Saturday, January 24th in Bucks County Community College. You know, it's interesting. We just did a conference here in October near Pittsburgh at Westmoreland Community College. And we do these at colleges because, you know, and the colleges are okay with doing them too, because, and that's another sign that there's acceptance there, that the college says, fine, that's good, go ahead and do it. And we're doing it on a campus in a professional auditorium, and people understand that this is real.
And that's really important. I think that's a good point you made, too, that even the educational systems are starting to take this stuff a lot more serious. I know when I was in college, that wasn't that long ago, either. It wouldn't have flown just, 10 years ago. So it is, you know, we've spoken at colleges before, too, on the paranormal, on ghost hunting, all kinds of stuff. So there is that acceptance there, so it's really refreshing. It's a great thing to see. And, again, it kind of goes back to the question I asked earlier, you know, why are all these people seeing all these sightings? And I think it's because there is all this awareness being put out there that people are, you know, we're having conferences, we're having seminars, people are speaking about this thing. People are getting presentations on these subjects. And I think that's what's making people think a lot more.
John, is there a website or is there a link at 12-21-2012-a-prophecy.com? Is there a link to the conference information on there, or is there a special conference website, or can they find out about it from you?
No, that's the, you go to that website, and my son actually, I told him today, you got to put it up. we have the October conference still there, and I said, you got to take that down and put the January conference up. This is already being advertised in newspapers, and people are going to go to it, and you got to put it up. So if you don't see it there, give it a couple of days. But you can also go to PAMUFON.com, PennsylvaniaMUFON.com, and the... conference is there, along with my book is there also.
Okay. Yeah, well, cool. Speaking of which, we only got a couple minutes here, John. Let's talk about the book for a second. 12-21-2012, A Prophecy. Tell us about this for a second.
Well, I tell you what, I wrote this book a few years ago, and this, you know, I finished writing it in 06, and I published it about 18 months ago. Page 12, he talks about the collapse of the financial and housing markets in 2008. That happened. There's got to be five things in the storyline that's already happened, and it's a book about prophecies leading up to 2012. Beginning of the story has politics, and I set the world up in 2012. Middle of the story has a lot of prophecy that Gene Dixon, Edgar Cayce, and there's going to be some earth changes, whether it's an asteroid, flooding, etc. I'll leave it up to you to read the book. But the last two chapters really is about where did we come from. Is it creation? Is it evolution? The North Atlantic, the Greenland ice sheet melts, and when it melts away, they find a pod. And in the pod is two aliens. And we revive one of the two, and they tell us our true past. And I tell you what, I think the dialogue, the storyline, the ending of the book to me is classic. I mean, not because I wrote it, but people that have read it said it's one of the best stories they've ever read. But the scary thing is a lot of the predictions are coming true. I mean, who else predicted the financial and housing market was going to collapse in 08, 2 years ago? And there are other things in the storyline that are coming true, but it's really a really good story. And if you don't know a lot about UFOs and that, the storyline will really bring you along, and you'll enjoy the end. I won't tell you what happens, but it's a really good ending to the story.
Fantastic. John, we got to thank you so much for joining us tonight and talking about it. I'm glad we had you on.
There's some kind of static as well. I know.
If one thing's breaking, another thing is breaking around here.
No. We'll get it cleaned up on the break.
I'm sorry, John. What were you
saying? Hey, Scott.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Scott, one other thing. In the end of the book, there's a section on paranormal that experiences that I've had. Maybe in a future day, if we could talk about that.
No, yeah, we talked about that before, and let's definitely, for a future time, let's bring you back on and talk more about that. That'd be great. Yeah, for sure. Hang on the line. Don't leave us just yet, John. Hang tight for 1 second.
So that was John Venture, the website, www.12-21-2012-a-prophecy.com. Of course, that is linked up at ghostlytalk.com.
Yep, permanently.
And how topical. So coming up, next, Michael Luckman. We're going to continue talking about
aliens,
UFOs, that kind of thing in this
Alien
one.
Rock.
Alien Rock. I mean,
saw this book in Amber's collection. I was like, Amber, I want to start getting some, different people on the show, some different stuff. I don't want to talk about, the same stuff. I want to talk about new things. And we'll check out this book, Scott. And I got a hold of Michael, and he was nice enough to come on the show tonight. So
we're going to talk Alien Rock right after this independent music.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.